Hey, this is going to be a fun one. It's not a movie night yet, right? I'll invite you in your New Testaments, your Bibles this morning, to turn to Paul's letter to Titus. That epistle will be in chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. We're on our way to the hospital, and I thought she went back to the kids. Sarah and I were talking, and of course I recorded the sermon, and listened to it, and critiqued myself, and so I put it on in the truck as we were on our way to the hospital, because I figured, well, you know, someone's got to hear it, right? Christmas Carol. A Christmas Carol. Charles Dickens. And it would seem inspired also by the Apostle Paul. Of course, that's just a joke. Here's the setup, though. Ebenezer Scrooge, he's a rich old man. There's no love in his heart for anything except money. Everything that he does is for one purpose, to gain wealth. One night, he's visited by three spirits. The ghost of Christmas present, the ghost of Christmas past, and the ghost of Christmas yet to come. The ghost of Christmas past, he comes bearing message of Scrooge's past innocence, which then results in guilt and regret. The ghost of Christmas present comes to heighten Scrooge's awareness of his selfishness and pride. The ghost of Christmas yet to come reveals Scrooge's pitiful demise if he's to continue in his ways. Now, we've been kind of in Christmas mode since Halloween, or since the day after Halloween. I've probably had half a dozen or more different versions of this Charles Dickens classic on in the background. Gene Lockhart, you guys will remember him, it's Bob Cratchit. George C. Scott, of course, Bill Murray, Patrick Stewart, who are some of the other ones? Jim Carrey, Mickey Mouse, right? And who can forget that Muppet Christmas Carol? I mean, I love this story. Watching this rich, selfish old miser turn completely around and become this generous, selfless, loving person, it touches my heart. And I'm not alone in this. This is a timeless classic that touches the heart of every generation since it's been written. And so I thought this is a great place to start in presenting the gospel during Christmas. And that's why I chose our text this morning from Titus in chapter 3. Titus is there in Crete, and Paul's writing to him in the church there. And he's reminding them where they've come from, what their present position is, and the future to where they're going. He says, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures. We're hated by others, hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but by his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." This text just fits perfectly into the story of A Christmas Carol. I mean, in this story, Scrooge is transformed into a new man. The ghost of Christmas past reveals a nice enough adolescent Ebenezer. He had a hard childhood. He was sent off to boarding school, but he had a very loving sister. Sister loved him very much. And, you know, old Fezziwig, he treated him like a son. And so he goes and he meets this girl. Very nice young girl, and plans to get married. I mean, Scrooge had a lot going for him. But because of his poor upbringing, it left him always anxious about money, and he makes that dreadful mistake of putting his personal financial security ahead of everything else in his life, including his beloved Belle. The scene moves on, and we see a very happy Belle with a family and a loving husband. And Scrooge realizes everything that he's lost. His past fears have destroyed his future. And that's painful. And the first necessity for transformation is to address the pain of the past. See, all of us have blown it at one time or another. We were foolish, disobedient, led astray, enslaved by various passions and pleasures, living our days in malice and envy, hating others, hated by others. For Scrooge, the love of money was the deception that led him astray. He thought he was wise for acquiring so much of it. He thought that it would buy him security and happiness. Because of his passion for it and the pleasure that he gained from it, others hated him. And he hated others because of that. Ultimately, though, his love of money would lead to one thing. It would lead him to regret ever loving it in the first place. And as the ghost of Christmas past did for Scrooge, the Holy Spirit does for us and convicts us of our sin. And he leaves us with guilt because of our wickedness and God's righteous requirements if we're to escape his impending judgment. I mean, who would honestly ever say that they've never sinned? I mean, even non-believers won't claim perfection. Why? Because the truth, as God tells it, the fact is all have sinned and fall short of his glory. See, we all have skeletons in our closets that we'd sooner forget. No one is immune from past sins. We might even be carrying our past sins presently with us. But the good news, great joy for all people, is that Jesus was born to deal with humanity's sin problem. See, an angel of the Lord came to Joseph in a dream. And he said, "Joseph, Mary's going to have a son. And you will name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." See, from the cradle to the cross, Scripture teaches that Jesus came to save the world. He was conceived to be crucified and to redeem us from paying the penalty for our sins. There's a nice story that I read. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's a story of a Scottish doctor. He was in a very impoverished community. His patients didn't have any money. They would pay him in food. They'd give him eggs when their chickens laid them. When it came time for harvest, they'd give him vegetables. At slaughter, they would give him meat. Every year, the doctor made a practice of going through his accounts payable ledger. And where he knew that the patient would never be able to pay, he would write, "Forgive me." Soon enough, the doctor died. And his heirs found the ledger. And on finding the ledger, they decided there was no way that any court could rule in favor of the heirs when the physical evidence of the ledger so loudly testified "forgiven" on every page. We all have a debt. We've all blown it. We were all once foolish, disobedient, led astray, living in malice and envy, hating others, hated by others. But one otherwise ordinary evening, the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, and he was named Jesus, for he was to save his people from their sins. Well, Ebenezer wasn't too pleased with the guilt that that ghost of Christmas past brought on. It was glaringly apparent that he was a product of his past. So the ghost of Christmas present comes to allow Scrooge to see what he's really like in the here and now. And he takes him to the home of his employee, Bob Cratchit. And Scrooge sees a very impoverished Cratchit family gathering around their dinner table, eating a very meager Christmas dinner. And Bob Cratchit stands up and he takes the time to toast Ebenezer Scrooge, the rich, selfish old miser that might be the very reason that the family is so impoverished. He raises his glass and takes the time to thank God for Ebenezer Scrooge. And then, you've got the nephew. That old nephew. This might be the only person in the world that has any affection for Scrooge whatsoever. Year after year, he invites him to Christmas. And year after year, Ebenezer Scrooge rejects the invitation. And the present reality is made glaringly apparent. Ebenezer Scrooge is a despicable man. His heart is hard, calloused. He doesn't care for the needs of anyone around him. He has complete disregard and disdain for anyone other than himself. Yet, despite all that, there are those who will not give up on him and still love him. And that's the promise of the present, that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You see, and no matter how bad you think you are, God hasn't given up on you. God still invites you to himself, no matter how greedy, how selfish, how rebellious you may have been. No matter how much present joy the sins of your past are robbing you of, God still has good news of great joy for all people. He loves you. He demonstrates his love for you. And that while you were still foolish, disobedient, enslaved, various passions and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hating others and being hated by them, God offers you his Son, and he gives his son on your behalf. Christ died for you. That's good news and great joy. That is great news of terrific joy, amazing joy. That God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were still dead in our sins, makes us alive together with Christ. And therefore, Paul writes to Titus, saying that he saved us not because of works that we've done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. According to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly in Jesus Christ, our Savior, who was born of Mary. And they called him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the whole time he dwelt among us, he did not come to condemn us. He came to save us. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came to call sinners from out of their sin and repent and be clothed with his righteousness. And today, you might be lost like Scrooge was. You might need to see yourself unfiltered here and now in all of the filth and all of the unloveliness. And if that's what you realize, that you're filthy, unlovely, just despicable, I want you to know this. God loves you. He loves you. He hasn't given up on you. And he offers you the same eternal life that he gives to all those who believe in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And then we come to the ghost of Christmas yet to come. The scene's dark. It's thunderous. He doesn't have a face. He doesn't speak a word. But his message couldn't be more clear, could it? Death will come, Scrooge. Death will come if you continue in your present ways. Death to Tiny Tim. Death to a miserable old miser. Who is this man? Who is this poor sack, cries Scrooge, as the servants there divide his things before the undertaker comes. Who is this man? Spirit takes him to a grave. Wait! Wait, he says. Before you show me the name on the grave, answer me this question. Are these things that must be, or are they but shadows of things that might be? Tell me I'm not dead yet, Spirit. Why show me these things if there's no hope? I'm a changed man. I'm not who I was before, Spirit. That's the focus of our future. That hope of eternal life. Paul writes to Titus and to the church in Crete, to you, and to me, and to all who have ears to hear. And he says, God saves sinners according to his mercy. In baptismal waters, he forgives their sins and he washes them away. And the Holy Spirit comes to make their heart his home. And to continually renew them. To make them alive together with Christ to God. And therefore justify them before the law of God by grace. And he makes sinners heirs then with Christ to the kingdom of God. And now we have our eyes fixed on this hope of eternal life. This is a life-changing moment for Scrooge. He understands that it's now or never. He stands there in front of his own grave, and he realizes he is a dead man walking if he continues in his sins. Life-saving moment for the sinner is when he hears the good news of the gospel of Christ. That God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Everyone who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe is judged already, for he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The life-changing moment for the sinner is when he's confronted with that gospel of Christ and realizes that it's now or never, that he's a dead man walking if he continues in his sins. And unless he wakes up and obeys the gospel, then he will never have the testimony of the Holy Spirit who declares the children of God. The ghost of Christmas yet to come declares to Scrooge, repent or be destroyed. And that terrifies Ebenezer Scrooge. Terrified. Of course, this is a work of fiction. Charles Dickens wrote the ending of Repentance. And we have that happy fairy tale ending of a Christmas carol. Ebenezer Scrooge repents. Becomes a new changed person. What's your ending? See, the message of Christmas future for Scrooge was repent or be destroyed, and the message of our future is the same. Repent or be destroyed. The message of a Christmas carol for us, for the future, is there's two ways to live. One way leads to eternal life. The other way leads to eternal destruction. The difference between the two ways is obedience to Christ and his gospel. Those who obey the gospel of Christ will have eternal life, for they have believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. But those who do not obey the gospel of Christ, they will pay the penalty of eternal destruction. And I don't know about you, but that scares me. At one point, it terrified me to repent. I don't want that for myself. I don't want eternal destruction for anybody. So I'll do whatever is necessary for myself to ensure that I escape that penalty. And I will do whatever I can to make sure that everybody else I come in knows the way to escape that penalty. And the way to escape that penalty came one starry Bethlehem night. Not in the form of a Christmas spirit, but in the form of a baby. It was Christ the Lord. He lay in a cradle to go to a cross, so that you might believe in him, and believe, have life in his name. Christ be with you.